Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to For the Health of It, Cowley County. I'm Tom Langer, the Health Department's administrator and the Cowley County Public Health Officer, and with me today, as always, is my loyal and devoted partner, Allie. How are you doing today, kiddo?
I am doing okay. How
are you? Sure? I mean, I'm tired. We just
I'm pretty
came
tired too.
just came off the second of our drive-through flu shot clinics here in the county, and I tell you what, I'm getting old. I'm not used to being out there in the wind and on the concrete all day long like we were. And I'm glad we do it. It's one of those things I think a lot of people look forward to every year. But here we are. And today we're going to be talking about the respiratory season. And we're going to actually be giving you listeners the first of the season of our respiratory illness updates. And the format today is going to be pretty simple. Allie and I are going to be discussing what we've seen so far, what's going on with respiratory illness season. Define it for everybody so they know what we're talking about a little bit. You know, people will call it cold and flu season. Well, we know it's more than just cold and flu because we have all other kinds of creatures in the mix nowadays, things like RSV and COVID, of course, that are all out there. But they all seem to kind of impact us during the season, which for us runs between what we've defined in Cowley County, the end of October, 31st of October through the 31st of March. That's the respiratory illness season as we have defined it in Cowley County. Now, why is ours maybe a little bit different from what you might see on the national basis? And it's basically because of our seasonal patterns, the weather, you know, when it starts to get cold and when the seasons change here, as opposed to where they do it in other parts of the country. So where we're still kind of feeling that tail end of summer time, some other places they're already into the, you know, the colder days of fall and hinting of winter that is to come. So that's just an important distinction between what you might hear from us when we're talking about our local environment as opposed to what the national folks from like the CDC will be talking about through the course of the year. So anything you want to add to that?
I think you're right in line.
So what do you think the turnout was? Or were you pleased, Allie, with the number of folks that came out to see us at the drive-through clinics so far?
Well, it was down a little bit from previous years, but I would still say anytime we can give out 250 doses of any kind of vaccine that we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. I know that I looked back a little bit to see, well, you know, in the nine drive-through clinics that I've been a part of, every one has been different. Every single year we've had things that would have affected. You know, some years we were out there we would chuckle because the first one we would always be out there sweating and the second one we'd be freezing. This year we had pretty stable weather for, you know, 2 weeks back to back. I think it's because we held our first one in the very first week of October. And I don't know if that really, you know, if the fact that the weather hasn't changed yet maybe impacts people's minds.
I think that it would, because we're talking about, you know, cold and flu season, but it's
right.
Not cold yet.
It's not cold yet. It's just not time.
It's not, yeah. It's not time to do it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. But the best part about October is it's the right month because of the fact that we know and we're receiving these vaccines. The vaccines are designed to do one thing, and one thing only, and that is to wake up our immune systems specifically to look for whatever the vaccine is providing to us. And in this situation, like the seasonal flu vaccine, it's going to go in there and wake up our system again to say, hey, be ready. And it kind of spins it up with the shot that we get so that we are now producing the antibodies and everything else that we're going to need to fight off the different strains of flu that are protected by the shots. Okay, or the shot as far as the flu shot goes, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, do you want to go into the science of that flu shot a little bit, or, I mean, I love that kind of geeky stuff, you know, but the crazy thing about it is we know that each year Okay, the shots that we provide to the public, they cover four strains of the influenza virus. There's two of them that are A strains, okay, H1N1, H3N2, I think is the other one. And for people who don't remember, H1N1 was the big epidemic that swept across. I don't remember if it hit pandemic status or not, but it did result in one of those first times we were out there and we had long lines of people coming out to get flu shots, and it has not gone away. These viruses don't disappear from the earth. They stay in activity and they move from one hemisphere to the next because we are people and we do move around the globe. So yeah, we watch for that every year, and every year the vaccine has a booster that is designed specifically to boop, pop that one back up again. And the other one is the H3N2, and I think that was what people would call the Hong Kong flu. So if you remember those things, you know, if you're older like I am and you remember, oh my gosh, the Hong Kong flu, what is that? Well, those were those. And then we have the B strains, I think were, I'm trying to remember what they were now. Yakamoto was one, you know, that was from Japan, and then there was another one. But they're still prevalent. I mean, they don't go away. And that is why every year we know they're going to come back. They're going to be modified. They always do what viruses do. They adapt, they change. But they're specific to humans, and so that's what the protection is for in these vaccines. So this year, we've been a little bit hampered. Haven't we?
Yeah, we have been.
Yeah, and the reason being is that we generally carry three different, I don't want to say types, but
types.
formulations of flu vaccine. Our supplier, you know, is a national supplier. It's Sanofi, for those of you. You don't hear much about Sanofi. You know, you don't hear about them on the TV and such too terribly much. They go about their business. They're a really decent company, and we place a lot of faith in their formulations. We have in the entire time that I've been with the health department. They're the only flu vaccine we carry through our shop. So they have what we call as the standard quadrivalent, right? Talk to people about what a quadrivalent is.
Well, it's essentially what you were just talking about, the quad meaning four different strains. Protection for those four strains.
Right. And in that one shot, you get four strains. Didn't used to be that way. Sometimes the shots would just be a single variant, or there for a long time, they were just trivalents. They only had they protect against three. But now most all shots, I think for most all manufacturers, are quadrivalent. So they protect for the four types. But they come in varying dose strengths, I guess is what we would say. And talk a little bit about that, Allie.
Yeah. So I don't want to call it the general flu, but the base level flu would be a varying dose. It's going to be less than what we would give to our older population.
Right.
They would receive more, essentially, protection against those four strains to help their weakening immune systems as they age.
Right. So you'll hear a lot of talk about, especially if you're older like I am now, I want the super shot, you know. And what it basically is, it is a stronger dose. It's instead of taking one Tylenol, you take two, you know. It's an amped up version of the flu vaccine. In our systems, it will be sufficient to fight the flu off for about a 6-month time period, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so when you take a look at it, when you look at what we're talking about now, when you get a flu shot in October, it takes your system, generally, you know, if you're a healthy person, a couple of weeks for it to spin up. And for all the antibodies to really reach their peak, then they will last within your system all the way through the flu season, which is why we recommend you get it, you know, in October. It's not too late to get it. You know, some folks say, oh, I want to wait. And they wait until the flu starts circulating. And then it's kind of a risky business at that point, because you may get it before you get the shot, or you may, you know, be exposed shortly after you've received it, and your body really hasn't had the chance to develop the immunity that you need to help fight off those strains. So that's why we say this is the best time of the year to get it. October is when we're probably the busiest at the health department. We go out and we do not just the drive-through clinics, but we'll go out to any organization that wants to host one. And if you still are interested in doing something like that, give us a call. We'll certainly look at our calendar and get you set up. We'll come on site. We'll come to you as opposed to making people come here. But it's a relatively simple process. Doesn't hurt that much. I mean, you know, nobody likes a shot, right?
Right.
Yeah. You know, you'll feel it for a day or two. But it's certainly not going to make you sick. It's not going to give you the flu. These are not live viruses that you're getting. So it's just a shot that spins up your immune system to fight those off. Anything we want to throw out about there? Now, we were talking about why we were a little bit disadvantaged this year. And I think it goes to the integrity of the manufacturer.
Sure.
We have generally brought in, like I say, the three. For the last 4 years, I think it's been these three. There's one that is the basic flu vaccine that's good for anybody from children all the way up. I mean, you can get this one all the way through your life.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as early as 6 months of age.
Yeah, as early as 6 months of age. And it's a really very, very efficient and a very good vaccine. And it is not exceptionally expensive. It does not cost a lot. You know, so even if you didn't have insurance, you had to pay for it. If you come to the health department, man, we'll make sure you get a flu shot. We don't want you, if you need it and you can't pay, we will figure out how to do it. We will make it happen for you. Then there's another, there's what I call a variety. There's another formulation that has been really, really exceptionally good and that we've had it for the last 4 years. And this is the first year that supply's been interrupted. And that's one that was designed for folks that were, what, age 40 and above?
Yes.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I mean, because everything falls in an age category. So for adults, and it was a kind of what you'd call that mid-range shot. It was already starting to boost the supply of medicine that's in it that will cause your body to respond. And it was done in a different type of formulation. A lot of flu shots are, believe it or not, we're dependent upon the poultry industry to create flu vaccine, because you have to have egg white to make the flu vaccine. And when you go ahead and you incubate it's not the virus itself, but they replicate, you know,
specific proteins,
the proteins. And so we use the protein streams from egg products or from eggs to make that happen. Well, sometimes when they manufacture it, that doesn't create a mirror image. The protein in the eggs causes the vaccine to be off just a little tiny bit. And those are the years when they say that the vaccine wasn't quite as effective as they like it to. Well, and then along they came with a different type of formulation that used a different protein base, okay, that was absolutely a mirror image. I mean, it was like take your hand and put it in a glove. Boom, it fit perfectly. And when we saw that and we tested it, you know, locally, and we saw such great response to it, we continued to bring that back year after year. This year, something happened in processing, and the manufacturer says, no, we cannot release it. It's not right. And so we were not able to get that mid-range shot. So we only had the quadrivalent and, of course, the high dose. And the high dose is the same as the basic quadrivalent, only it's kind of like doubled in its capacity. So anyway, that's it. So we've not had that mid-range one to provide. We're not anticipating that it's going to cause great problems or we're going to see more people with flu. But we miss it because it's always something that we've made available to people that come to the health department. And we're looking forward to those manufacturing issues being resolved, and you know, next year it'll be back on track again. That's for the flu vaccine. So that's been kind of a bummer. The other part, like you mentioned, Allie, was the general feeling of people. I think, what do you think? Are people tired of hearing about vaccines?
I think that they are, yes.
You know, I really do. Do you think there's a lot of lost trust out there?
Certainly.
I do too. I mean, you can't go through what we've gone through and not see it, and not hear it, and not feel it, you know, when you talk to people. There's been so much that's happened from the time that the pandemic began till now that I think people really don't know who to trust or what do you do. And so that's why we always try to make sure that we can do things like this podcast, where we want to talk about it. We want to be honest and let you know, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're thinking. And these are the things. I was thrilled. I guess you could say that. and almost very much amazed, because we were talking as we looked at our numbers of folks that came through, that between Winfield and Arc City, it was almost identical to the number of people that came through in both locations.
Right.
I mean, what was it? One off. You know, from each location, the difference was just that slight. And I never would have thought that, because they seemed to, the drive-through seemed to be very constant. We had people coming all day long, and we're thrilled at that, and we love the fact that people did do that. And what I also noticed, too, is how many of them are repeat, you know, visitors to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They have found out that, hey, this is the easiest way for them to get it.
And it is. It's so easy. You have to leave your vehicle.
Yeah, you don't even get out of the car. I mean, you roll down the window. And Daniel was there, and he helps with this, too. He's not mic'd up. But I mean, you know, even the process is just, you know, getting the proper, you know, paperwork completed. And we have that down to a science. I don't think we probably kept people in line more than 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely, you know, not.
And one thing that you have to really understand is the reason we do this, it serves multiple purposes for us. We always have to be ready in public health to respond whenever there's going to be any kind of a health emergency. And a lot of times if we have to provide antivirals or anything to the public, and we have to do it in a rapid fashion, in a large scale way that we do it, it's going to be through this type of a setup where it's a drive-through, because people can come, they don't even have to get out of their vehicles, and a lot of times those vehicles are, you don't really understand, they're a little pod in and of themselves. You're not going to be interacting with anybody but a family member or a person you're riding with, and so those are a great way for us to always test our skills, make sure that we can do it, and for us to increase our efficiency as we provide those things. So anyway, that's flu shots right now. Now we're looking at entering into the respiratory season, and this year we're going to be tracking really three big things. We're going to be looking at continually what's going on with influenza, what's going on with RSV, and Allie, what's RSV stand for?
Respiratory syncytial virus.
Right on. Thank you for bailing me out, because, you know, when I get into syncytial, I always want to add an extra syllable or something, and it doesn't come out right. And what is that again for people who may not have heard about this before?
Yeah, it's an infection of the respiratory tract that starts in the upper respiratory system with your sinuses, and as it progresses, it can transfer to your lower respiratory system and become a real threat to your health.
Right. And so the RSV vaccine does what exactly? Do you remember?
Yeah, it works on preventing that lower respiratory infection. So it's not saying that it's going to prevent the infection entirely. You can still contract RSV. You can have it. But the idea is that it would remain in the upper respiratory system.
Like a cold.
Yes.
A lot of times people will get that they'll get it confused. Oh, I just got a really bad cold, or a cold I can't get rid of, or boy, this cold has settled in my lungs. How many people have maybe said that? Or, you know, you've got it and you're coughing and you have that real deep hacking cough, and then you'll have that raspy, wheezy breathing that goes with it. If you get something like that, that's not a cold.
It'll last
that's
several weeks.
Yeah, and it hangs on. I mean, it just doesn't go away. That's generally going to be RSV. And it's very contagious. It's really easy to get. And so you can understand that specific virus is of great concern for two distinct groups. If we're a little bit older, or, you know, and we've grown up and our systems are spun up like they should be, we can pretty much fight it off and we don't end up in the hospital. It may have us down for a while, but for the most part, if we take care of ourselves, we can handle that. But infants, and I'm talking newborns, so, you know, 0 to 12 months,
right,
they are at really great risk, because their bodies do not have that type of
immune capacity
yet. They haven't lived long enough for them to be exposed to it. So the initial time when they get that as children, that is, RSV is the leading cause for hospitalizations of children aged, you know, from birth to 1 year. That is it. And nobody wants to see their baby have to go to the hospital. So finding a way to protect them is always been something that we've thought has been really paramount. The second group are those that are over 60. Because as we get older, our immune systems begin to decline. Nothing we can do about it. It's part of the aging process. That's why we have the high dose for flu. That's why the current vaccines that we've got available, or the vaccine singular that we've got available for RSV in adults, is only going to be provided to individuals age 60 and over. And we've talked about that in a previous podcast, didn't we? What's the name of it?
Arexvy.
Arexvy, and it's a GSK product, and we are really committed to that product. I'll tell you why. We looked at all of the science behind it. We looked at all of the testing and everything. This is not something that just was cooked up in somebody's laboratory, you know, in the basement one day and says, oh, here it is, man. This has been a decade or longer in development.
And that's for just a specific vaccine.
That one specific vaccine.
Yeah, GSK has been researching RSV for 60 plus years.
Right. And so basically, you know, here we've got it now, and we really are, you know, promoting it. I won't lie. We're making people know that it's available. We're telling them about it, what it could do for them. And so we do encourage folks that if you want it and you're in that age group, hey, we've got it for you. You know, come on in and we'll get that taken care of. The protections that it will give. It's a one-time deal.
Yes.
I think that's the difference between the RSV shot as opposed to flu shots that we see, because flu shots are annual, but RSV is a one-time thing because it protects that lower respiratory system and it helps develop those immunities that will keep that infection from settling in the lower part of the lungs. So that's, I think, a key thing. So we've got it. It's there. We're available. Now, that's something that's ongoing. We've not really had a problem with that. I think we've been pretty pleased with the number of folks that have been curious about it and have been coming in and folks that have been seeking to get that for their own personal protection. I will tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed in what's happening with the RSV shot for the babies. We spoke a little bit earlier, and if we go all the way back to our very first podcast, we talked about what we would do and what we wouldn't do and all of that. And I mentioned in that podcast that we would not be promoting one thing over another, that we don't get any kind of sponsorships, we're not paid, but that we will talk about why we choose those to be in the arsenal that we provide to the public, because I think it's important they understand that we're doing our due diligence as well. We don't just listen to everything and, oh, that sounds, let's grab it and go. No, we do our research. We look at this. We want to make sure that we're bringing what we believe are the best products to the market for people. The formulation for RSV for infants comes from Sanofi. Again, the same manufacturer that we get our flu vaccine from. And the product name is Beyfortus. Beyfortus is a shot that is designed for that first year of life, or maybe into the second, if the infant would be experiencing its very first cold and flu season, right? And there's a lot of calculations that we have to do and be very careful in providing that. Beyfortus is a shot, again, that was shown to be extremely, extremely valuable and efficient and worthwhile, but it's not like Arexvy is. It is, explain it, Allie. You've read all this documentation.
Sure. So Arexvy, by definition, for the seniors, would be what is classified as a vaccine. Mm-hmm. What that means is that it is given through the injection site to your body, and your body is responsible for generating that immune response. So your body then would create its own antibodies to potentially fight an RSV infection later.
Right.
Beyfortus is different in the fact that it is not a vaccine because it does not trigger active immunity. So what that means is the babies, the infants that receive Beyfortus, are not responsible for generating those antibodies themselves. Instead, Beyfortus is going to give them the antibodies directly at the time of injection, which is fantastic for our babies. As we referred to, they don't have that capacity to generate such an immune response so quickly. So being able to have those antibodies in their bodies that quickly, that's awesome. Right. It's great for our babies.
It's a monoclonal antibody.
Yes. Yeah.
Without getting all geeky and scaring people off, you know, throughout the pandemic, we've heard of mRNA. We've heard of different types of vaccine technologies. This is not that.
Correct.
It is a different technology, but it actually delivers the antibodies directly to the infant. So they don't have to create them. They are just, it's automatically in their system, and it allows them to fight off the illness.
Yes, and it's great because they don't have to generate them, and they also just receive that protection so much quicker.
One of the things we want to talk about, I mean, if we didn't mention it, correct me if I did, but both of these shots you only get once.
Yes.
This is not a seasonal thing. You don't get it year after year. It's a one-time thing. You know, we are concerned about the infants being exposed, and they are. I mean, a baby that's born now, they're going to go right into the cold and flu season. And, you know, they're going to be exposed to everyone and everybody that comes in to see them. Oh, look how precious. Oh, let me kiss on it. Oh, my goodness gracious. What are we doing? You know, you don't want to show your child off. I mean, or not do that to the family. That's great. But there are so many risk factors associated with that kind of activity. And that's where this vaccine comes in. Now, let's talk about the price of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty, as far as the vaccine costs, Bay Fortis is very expensive.
Yeah, it's $495 per dose.
Per dose. When you compare that to what a hospitalization for a child costs, though, I think you'd run through $495 probably within the first hour.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. But it creates a problem. And the big problem is, who has that or who can afford that? So, you know, you may be able to pay for it out of pocket if you are doing well financially. But most folks, they're not planning on an additional $500 when a baby's born. They're hoping that their insurance is going to cover that. And herein comes the rub. What we've been watching and what we've been witnessing is the arm wrestling match between pharma, okay, that creates the product, and the insurance companies that ultimately are going to be providing payment for it. Because they're still arm wrestling that, this product has been very slow to be released and to roll out. It's almost like they're holding it hostage. We know that it was approved by FDA. We know it is approved by CDC. We know that that the council looked at it and said, yeah, this we approved this. This should be part of the Vaccine for Children's program. And they scheduled it as such, which means that under Medicaid, you know, like CanCare, that it would be covered.
Yep.
All right? I mean, so cool, we're going to cover that. But hold on. Private insurance companies say, I don't know, $500 a shot? We really weren't counting on that this year. Now, I'm speculating here. I haven't talked to any executives at the large insurance companies, but I can only imagine what they're going through. All of a sudden, taking a look at a shot that's going to be on the schedule that costs $500 a dose.
Right.
You know, they're going to flinch at this. And I think that's just unconscionable, really. It's there. It's available. I'd love to see it less expensive. I'd like to see it around, you know, maybe what it is for high-dose flu or what we see, even for Arexvy, which is, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not like Bay Fortis. And anyway, that's part of what's going on. And, you know, I've had conversations with the hospitals, and they say, no, we're not going to do it. It's not there. Not that they don't want to, okay, but they're looking at the pediatricians, they're looking to the health department saying, we hope you can provide this. And we say, yes, we will. We're going to step up to the plate and make sure that we will do it, we will get it, and we will make it happen. But it does come at a pretty high cost. But at the end of the day, how do I ever offset that? I would be such a hypocrite if I said it is not worth it to provide that vaccine to a child, to an infant, if I knew it will keep them out of the hospital.
Right.
That's just, you know, that's that personal stuff that goes out there. Now that brings us then into the next realm, which is, hey, what's the news with the COVID vaccines?
Mm.
Yeah, we've heard that a little bit.
Quite a bit.
I'm going to ask you, was the widespread issuing from the CDC and the FDA to everybody in America to go get your new booster, you know, or your new vaccine, was that just a little bit premature?
Every single time it's happened, it has been.
It has been. You think that they would ever learn?
It doesn't impact them.
They're idiots. You know, I mean, come on. These people are morons. They have no idea about how stuff really truly works.
Right.
Right now in Cowley County, a lot of us are still waiting to get the vaccine.
Yep.
We have people calling us every day saying, do you have it? We want to come get it. And we want to provide it. We really do. Remember, we talked about this earlier in this session. That vaccine is formulated now to once again wake up your immune system. The new formulation for the new vaccine, it is very, very, very minor as far as changes go. It is tweaked just a little bit, almost like what they do with the flu vaccine every year. Okay? Yeah, and if you haven't figured it out, this is the direction it's going. I knew this was going to happen when it first started. It's going to become something that's going to be available annually. Well, you got to get it going, and you got to have it available if you're looking to roll it out on a national basis. I don't know that it's the manufacturer's fault this time, but what happened or what changed between last year and this year?
The end of the pandemic declaration in the country.
And what was tied to that?
All the money for the pandemic.
The money! That's right. The manufacturers, Pfizer,
Moderna,
you know, all these, they only had to go to one window to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were really to ship that stuff all over the country, all over the world, you know, because they were going to get one big fat check from the Treasury. Now, every one of us, every health department, every pharmacy, every physician who wants to provide this has to be set up as a vendor. If you are in business, you understand what I'm talking about. You want to have customers, you want to have them, and you have to set them up, you know. But imagine if you've been dealing with one, and now you have hundreds of thousands of customers coming and say, hey, we want to have this, ship it to us. And the business practice is, oh my God, we don't have you set up in our systems, and we can't get that stuff shipped. A lot of that is going on right now. And then, of course, you also would have thought that they would have known to have plenty of it, ample amounts, so they want to get it shipped out the door. And it's been painfully slow in getting that done. We've been told, we're going to see it probably within the next couple of weeks.
And we've been told that for six weeks at least?
Yeah, since Labor Day. You
yeah,
know?
Now, it's not now, been great.
Now we're looking at Halloween, and we're still waiting on it. So, you know, what we're doing at the health department is we know who our clients are and who our patients have been, and we will be reaching out and contacting them and letting them know when it hits the door, because they've asked for it. They're waiting. I think that's just kind of a, you know, again, another one of those stubbed toes that once more throws doubt into people's minds.
Certainly.
About what's going on. Do we worry about its efficacy? No, we don't. Am I worried as the public health officer right now that, oh my gosh, we're in a problem? No, we're not. And here's why. There are a lot of sources of data. We see it all the time. Allie, you look at the same reports that I do, and we have access to those things. We see them at the national and international level. We see them at the state level. And we can even, and we're the ones that can see what's going on locally, right? And so we know, you know, people have asked, well, what's going on with COVID? Well, COVID has been active, but it is not as active right now as what we've seen in the past.
Especially for this time of the year. I hate to even say that.
Yeah, well, no, it's true. But historically, if we look back even and we compare this to last year, we're in the same place.
Right.
Now, through October, all the way back, even in 2020. Remember 2020? How can we ever forget 2020? 2020, October, it was a beautiful October. Moderate temperatures, nice, you know. Nobody was sick.
People were still outside.
We're thinking, man, we're going to beat this thing, right? What is this? What was the big scare about? And then Halloween came. You remember that storm in 2020 on Halloween?
Yep.
When it snowed and it iced and it got freezing cold. And then within a week, what happened? I'll never forget it. I remember standing out there at the fairgrounds outside of Barn 4, looking at a line of cars that stretched for a quarter mile or longer. You know, and seeing people come in that were sick. My goodness, I don't ever want to have to go through that stuff again. We did it. We know we showed what we can. But man, I'm sure you're just really excited about the concept of standing outside in sub-zero degree temperatures again, you know, taking samples so that we can run tests. No, I don't ever want to see something like that again. But here we are, getting back to it, right where we're at. So folks right now should not be too terribly concerned. Hey, if you've been vaccinated in the past, we've all been exposed to it. We all have some level of immunity. Hopefully our systems are still responsive enough that if we do see it, it will spin up. But for those, again, who are at risk, I'm talking about folks that are older, immunocompromised, things like that. The vaccine is going to be here. We want you to have it. We're going to have it for you. So rest assured that as soon as it's in, we'll be letting them know. Is there anything about that we wanted to talk about?
Just give us a call if you're interested.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I hate to say it, but it reminds me of like it was in when the vaccines first became available, and we had.
Oh my goodness, I was looking at that this morning.
Hundreds, you know, and hundreds and hundreds of people on the list.
That's really underselling it. You know, we ended up with just shy of 7,000 people on that waiting list.
Yeah, and we ended up giving in the first year we ended up giving out almost twice that many doses. You know, it was because you had to have two, remember? And it was good gracious, man. You know, for those of you that went through it with us, you know, you understand, and we know. So anyway, that's where we are right now. We're heading into it. We've kind of hope you understand what our situation is as far as availability of vaccines, flu vaccines. We've got it. It's ready to go. RSV for you if you're 60 and over, we've got it. It's ready to go for you. We're waiting like you are for that truck to pull up and offload the cartons full of COVID vaccine. And as soon as we have it, hey, there is one thing I did want to talk about, because we're going to be bringing in a different version of that.
Oh, sure.
You know, we've always been what we call kind of a Moderna shop, which Moderna, if all of you remember, was one of the mRNAs. We didn't get Pfizer's vaccine early on because it had to be ultra cold, and we didn't have those kinds of ultra cold freezers available. They did make it available then a little bit later, you know, in a different formulation. But anyway, new to the market is Novavax.
Right.
You know, do you you have anything you want to say about Novavax?
Novavax is not an mRNA vaccine. It is a protein-based vaccine. Mm-hmm. So the technology is not as new, but it's still very innovative and it's very effective. Yeah, so we're excited to have that.
Yeah, it's going to provide the exact same kind of protections, but it is going to be more along the lines of like what an annual flu shot is.
Right.
You know, it's not an mRNA. Now, I'm not going to get into all of that science. mRNA is phenomenal. I mean, it's all part of the genome sequencing stuff, you know, and it's truly fascinating when you consider what medical science does and how we continue to advance. But I do know that part of that was, you know, was that drawback for, or that barrier for a lot of people saying, oh, no, man, you're not going to give me no experimental drug. You know, and so we want to make sure that, hey, now we're going to have something that it's there, that if you want it, and that's been the thing that's been holding you back, it's available. And it also is going to be another way of us being able to get these medicines that can be made available to the public. And I think it's smart that we have a larger group of people actually, you know, manufacturing them.
Yeah.
So certainly. Novavax, I think, if I remember correctly, is a U.S.-based firm, a U.S.-based company, a pharmaceutical company here in the States. So we're looking forward to having that in. Everything on that looks good, too. Before we go, because I know we're getting close on time, I want to kind of jump back just a little bit and go back to the RSV vaccines, because I didn't talk about one.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, and I would be a hypocrite to not say it publicly, because I will tell people that talk to me this on a personal basis. This, I'm not pleased with Pfizer. I'm not. I as a public health officer and administrator of the health department, and, you know, a person that's devoted, you know, his career to public health and helping people, I didn't feel that Pfizer was truthful with us through the pandemic. I think they said what they needed to say to protect themselves and to sell their product. That's cold. Coming from somebody in my position, that's harsh. A lot of people, you know, have similar thoughts that way out there, but it does drive the decision-making process. And in the area of RSV, we were looking at the two products, right?
Right.
We talked about them, Beyfortus from Sanofi, and then Arexvy from GSK. Did the reps come out and talk to us?
From Pfizer? Uh-huh. No.
No. I'm talking about from those two companies.
Oh, yes.
They brought us stuff. They were showing us. They were explaining everything. We were able to listen to them, ask questions, contact the doctors at their, and really dive in deep, because one of the things we've learned is we're not going to sit there and just rubber stamp everything.
Right.
Right? After all of that was out and the approvals and everything was announced, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in comes hang gliding Pfizer with a different formulation.
Mm-hmm.
And this formulation you might hear about, and you're going to understand in just a moment why I do not feel comfortable as a public health officer recommending it in our county. And this is one that was designed to be given to anybody, okay, the RC. And they're especially saying that if you are a pregnant woman in your last trimester, you should take it. I'm not ready to go down that path. I just don't. There are a lot of things that we know, but I have not yet seen the data, and I have not yet seen the conclusive evidence that says that the mom can pass that along to the child. And so, you know, if anybody wants to know, well, why doesn't the health department promote, or why don't they have this one that we can give to pregnant moms, it's because we don't want to have that happen. I think that's something that you know, if you're really wanting to look at that, you better be talking with your OB. And you better be looking down that path, and that's just kind of my take. That one rests on my desk, nobody else's. So, boo. Sorry. Anyway, what a great way to end that, huh? Just let people know exactly where we're at and what I'm thinking and how. And Allie, you do a lot as far as monitoring this stuff for me. Is there anything else that you want to add to this conversation?
Yeah, I've actually called a few of the recipients that have received Arexvy to ask them how that went, because it was new. I want to make sure that as staff, we're telling people correct information, and it was nice to talk with them. So we've given about 100 doses. At this time, I've spoken with 18 of those recipients, so close to 20%.
What's their reaction? How did it affect them? I mean, we always talk about, oh, this is what's going to happen post-shot, the sore arm, things like that.
Right. So the most common themes that were communicated with me were the mild bruising at the injection site that lasted anywhere from like that 3 to 4 day range, mm-hmm. as to be expected. A little bit of fatigue, the achiness, particularly in the upper body, shoulders, neck, mm-hmm. Head area, and then that injection site pain. There were 3 individuals that did say that they did experience some nausea and mild vomiting, but for the most part, it was what we were telling people, that fatigue was the one that was just about everybody said. I just felt really tired for the next couple of days, but it was okay.
Yeah. And the other caveat on it is this, of course, was to the designated group that is 60 and older.
Yes.
All right. So, okay. Anything else?
I think that's good for today.
Man, I hope so. And I don't want to be Tommy Downer out there. I really don't, because, I want folks to know that we're not just sitting back doing nothing now that the pandemic is over. We talk about that. We know that we are waiting for our epidemic of flu. Difference between pandemic and epidemic?
Yeah, pandemic is more widespread, particularly globally, and right. Epidemic is regionally.
Here we go. And we have those every year, and we're looking for that, and we're on point. We're monitoring those things right now. And if you need more information, if you want to talk to us about the things that you've heard us, discussing today, hey, give us a call. Call Allie up and chat with her. She's a pleasant young lady to have a conversation with. She is so smart. Makes me look good so many times. And I'll even take the time to chat with you. It's hard to get a hold of us sometimes, but hey, we will return a call or always answer your calls. So
yes.
Anything else? I think Daniel's over there saying, hey, cut, man, we're up on a hard time limit. So it's time for us to go ahead and close this episode of For the Health of Ocala County. As always, we are just absolutely thrilled that you guys continue to tune in and listen to us. We hope you find it valuable. We certainly do this just to help you, help us keep you well, right? So, Allie, take us away.
Until next time, stay well.
Stay well.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. Welcoming a new baby into the world is one of the most rewarding experiences that life has to offer, but it can also be very overwhelming, especially for first-time families. That's why this fall, the Health Department is teaming up with William Newton Hospital and the USD 470 Early Literacy Initiative and other community partners to host a special community baby shower. It'll feature educational sessions, community resources, snacks, and door prize opportunities. This event is perfect for newer expecting families. Plus, every attendee can get one free professional maternity or baby picture taken at the event. The baby shower will be held at the Physicians Pavilion on Saturday, November 4th from 9 a.m. to noon. There's no charge to attend. For more information, contact the Health Department or visit our website. Helping new families off to a healthy start. It's just one more way the Health Department works hard every day to help you stay well.